Hello, Journey family. Thank God we're able to be together again, even though it's across the miles. I can feel the presence of the Lord right here in my living room. And I want to share with you some scriptures to begin with, and then I'm going to tell you a story about a crisis that took place in Paul's life and how the measures he used can help you and I in our daily lives to make it through this crisis. I love Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 46, verse 1 and 2. Oh, let's lean into this verse tonight. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. We have been praying for each and every one of you. And before I begin, I just want to encourage you to know that God is with you. He's walking with you through this. If there's anything the church or I can do to help, if you're been laid off and you need help, or if you're going through depression, a couple of people that I'll keep confidential called me about that, and I hope some of the things we shared helped them. And there are many that are feeling it, they just won't say it. But you know, the beginning of healing is to reveal your feelings. So don't just stay there and lie there in depression and discouragement, because often God will use a friend, often God will use a pastor to help you come out of that. Now, you know, right now as you're listening to me, you're probably feeling what everybody's feeling. Anxiety, worry, fear. I mean, listen, we're hearing words over and over again that we haven't heard in a long time, if ever. Terms like pandemic, shelter in place, quarantine. If you had told me a few weeks ago that grocery stores would be running out of bread and that toilet paper would become so scarce you could almost use it as currency, I would not have believed you. If you would have told me a couple of months ago that restaurants would be closing their doors and that church services would have to be audio like I'm doing now or online, and that we wouldn't be able to meet in person, I would have probably said to you, you are an alarmist. You are a survival prepper. And then if you would have added, Malcolm, it would be best for you to self-quarantine because you're one of the vulnerable people to COVID-19, I'm afraid I would have laughed at you. Well, it has happened. And no one is laughing now. The president has declared a national emergency and looks like we're in this at least until May 15th. I'm praying that God will stop this virus, that people will observe the laws, and that quickly this will begin to move out and that the people who have it will be healed. You know, because of this unprecedented health emergency, we're told that we have to keep distance from one another. In some places, you know, I heard about a church, and I think this is going too far, but a church up north that had I think it may have been Kentucky, where they had a drive-up service where people could stay in their cars, like in the old drive-in theaters. And each license plate was written down, and they were ticketed $500 a piece. Now, to me, that's going too far, because they were practicing social distancing because they stayed in their cars. So if you'd have told me that was against the law, I would have doubted it. I would have said, you're crazy. And to be honest with you, I've never seen anything like this in all of my lifetime. And I think what's happening to people, and I'm sensing it in the people that I email and that I talk to on the phone, the people that call me, what's happening is in the quietness of all this enforced isolation, you and I start playing the what-if game. We begin to be filled with anxiety and panic, and we ask ourselves things like this. What if this happens? What if that happens? Will there be a room for me in ICU if I get sick? Will there be enough ventilators if I find myself unable to breathe? And in the quietness of the enforced isolation, we ask ourselves, what about the kids? What about my elderly parents? And these questions swirl in our minds because we have never walked through anything remotely similar to this national crisis. You know, I'm reminded of Joshua's words in Joshua 3, verse 4, when he gave a word of caution to the Israelites as they were about to cross into Canaan. He said, "You have not passed this way before." None of us have. This is a new and frightening territory for every one of us. So what should we do? Well, let me start with the practical. You ought to take this thing serious. It is not a hoax. It's not a joke. It's not a bad dream. It's a real pandemic. And perhaps the worst since the Spanish flu swept through our globe back in 1918. The obvious thing to do is to follow the specific directions of the CDC, the Center for Disease Control. You know them. You know the drill. Wash your hands. Practice personal distancing. Wear a face mask when you go into public. You can read all of those on their website. But I want to add a few. Be selfless instead of selfish. Stop obsessing on nonstop news feeds full of negativity and think about other people. And if you are younger, check on your older people that you know and offer them assistance. You know, this is a time, think about this, this is a time that we followers of Jesus can literally let our light shine. Like a city on the hill that the prophet talked about. Helping and focusing on other people can literally change your perspective in this crisis. You know, psychologists have well documented that volunteering and helping other people elevates the mood in almost most people. It's a phenomenon that's been dubbed, listen to this, the helper's high. The helper's high. The dopamine, the endorphins that are released when you're not obsessing about self, but you're thinking about helping others. The helper's high. So be concerned, be diligent, but don't panic, pray. Don't worry, worship. And do not, and you have a choice. Paul said, bring every thought into captivity. You control your thought life. Don't allow fear, anxiety, worry to fill your thoughts and grip your heart. You know, the word worry actually comes from an old English word, which means to choke. Worry literally chokes you. It's like hands around your neck. Corrie ten Boom once observed, and I quote, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. It does not enable us to escape evil. It makes us unfit to face evil when it comes. Worry is the interest you pay on trouble before it comes." So what is God's prescription for you and I as we're going through this unprecedented crisis in our lifetime? Well, you know, when a child is afraid of the dark, in the night, in their bedroom, the best thing to do is to either have a night light or turn on a light in the hallway and let a little bit of that light stream through your child's open door. And then go in there and sit on the edge of their bed with your little boy or your little girl. And what do? You speak words of comfort, words of reassurance. You see, in a moment of panic or fear, they've had a bad dream. They need the presence of an adult, preferably their mom or dad, to soothe away their fears. Well, journey friends, listen to me. The same is true for you. In the early hours of the morning, when sleep escapes you and fear begins to press in from all sides. Maybe you've been watching the news and the rolling death count, and you're reading the news sites late at night, and anxious notions begin to come sweeping into your mind, uninvited, unwelcomed. They're telling us now that there's a new fear of depression, discouragement coming through this coronavirus. Well, when you're feeling that moment, or you're feeling like that at that moment, please invite the presence of your Heavenly Father to come in, sit by your bed, hold your hand, because He and He alone can dispel all worry, fear, and anxiety. I love what the Lord gave these words in Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and the flames will not set you ablaze. What a powerful promise from God. And I want to remind you, folks, a son or daughter of God, hear me, is indestructible until God is done with them. Let me give you an example. In the book of Acts, we encounter the story of Paul the Apostle when he's bitten by a poisonous snake. He'd just been through a shipwreck. And I've never been bitten by a snake, but it has to be a freaky thing. Listen to how the scripture describes the apostle's close encounter. It says this, Acts 28, verse 3 and 5. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself onto his hand. But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. Praise God. Vipers, of course, they fall into that category of snakes you don't want to be bitten by, because their bite is extremely painful and even can be fatal. But what did Paul do? In spite of that, he shook the snake off into the campfire and he went on calmly gathering wood. Why didn't it hurt him? Listen, why didn't the poison take his heart, his life? Hear me, because it wasn't his time to go. Now stick with me. I'm going to unveil to you a wonderful truth. In Acts 23, verse 11, the Lord himself had already told Paul that he would arrive in Rome and that he would testify before Caesar. And Paul believed the promises of God, like you and I should. And so because Paul believed the promises of God, he reasoned, if the Lord said I'm going to go to Rome, then I'm going to go to Rome. Nothing can stop me. He was bulletproof. The viper bite, the hurricane, the shipwreck that he went through, they were just a little inconvenience along the way. It was all in a day's work. Mark 16:18 says that believers will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. Now, that verse doesn't mean you should be drinking poison or handling rattlesnakes in a church service, because that would be testing God rather than trusting God, which is an evil thing. But what this passage is saying, once again, hear this, is that a Christian is indestructible until God is done with them. Oh, listen, as long as you have kingdom work to do on this earth, you will remain on this earth, coronavirus or not. Now, when That work is done. God will call you home. But until then, don't be afraid. You know, in the book of Genesis, God spoke to Abram, and he said in Genesis 15, verse 1, "Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you, and your reward will be great." Are you praying God's protection? Are you standing on that promise? Are you leaning into that? And then I love Psalm 91. "You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday." Nor the plague, do you hear that? "A thousand may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right side, but it will not come near you." Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that great to know? It's not over until it's over. We can live our lives with boldness and with inner tranquility and peace, knowing that God is in control of everything that comes our way. Yes, we need to be wise. Yes, we need to be cautious. But as Christians, we do not have to live in constant fear for our lives, because until the day we die, you and I, as believers, are in His protective care. And what about that day when we do die? What about when our purpose on earth has really been fulfilled? Well, Paul said it best in Philippians 1:21. He said, "To live is Christ, and to die is gain." I like the New Living Translation even better. It says, "Living means living for Christ, and dying is even better." You know, that is a great outlook to have in these dangerous, uncertain times that we're living in. I mean, right now, this is a worldwide pandemic. But, you know, let's be honest. There's always going to be something fearful on the horizon of our lives. It goes with the territory of life, because we live on a broken planet. This corona outbreak will pass, but there's going to be something else in your life. But whatever, hear me, whatever that something else might be, you ought to thank God that you remain under His divine protection. And just like Abraham, you need to make the choice to believe His promises. You know, the Bible says, "Bring every thought into captivity." Don't allow the fear, so forth, the anxiety to come in. Memorize the promises of God. Get yourself into the Bible. Read the book of John. Read that God has the answer to all of these problems. He's the answer to your fear, your worry, your anxiety. And you know, in this time of isolation, it's a time that you can really open up the Word. And in this time of quietness, turn the TV off and listen to God and allow God to speak to you. Journey folks, I am praying that when all of this is over, and it will be over, you can endure anything if you know there's an end to it, and there is an end to this. My prayer is, when it's all over, that I will be closer to God than ever before, that I will be a better pastor, that I will be a better husband, that I will be a better father, and praise God, even a grandfather. I'm praying that, and I'm praying our church, Journey Church, some of the best people in all of Baton Rouge attend the Journey. No perfect people allowed. I'm praying we will be a stronger, better church because of this crisis that we've all had to go through. I'm leaning into Romans 8:28. God is working all things together for good to those that love God and those who are the called according to His purpose. God will work ALL, all things. Does that include the coronavirus? Yes. Yes, it does. Let us pray together. Father, I thank You for everyone listening to my voice right now. Lord, may they not hear me, but may they hear the voice of the Holy Spirit telling them, fear not, for I am with you. Lord, I pray that in living rooms or kitchens or bedrooms or cars, wherever people might be right now in the Journey family and the friends of Journey, I pray they'd feel your presence, Lord, that they'd know that you are with them, that they are not in this alone. You are walking by their side. Fill them with strength and confidence. Remind them that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. You've been so good to us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We love you. We're praying for you. If you have any needs, please call me, text me, email me. God bless each of you. We love you, and I can't wait to see you again. God bless you.